Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 18 years now. We have been bringing these messages to you, and we praise the Lord for this day. It's a day He has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today, we're going to be finishing up our series on the reality of hell, how Jesus talked about the possibility and the reality of hell, and He has given us a choice to make. And so this is part four. Jesus speaks of the reality of hell, and so you're going to want to stay tuned for this and pray about it, understand it for your own life. And we'll take up this message here in just a minute. Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to start in verse 47. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. Today, we're going to be talking about part four of Jesus Speaks of the Reality of Hell. But before we do that, I want to just give you a brief update what's going on here in Kenya. I'm coming to you from Kenya today, and we've been having beautiful weather, 85 to 90 degree days, and sufficient rain. We've got a beautiful crop started, the second season maize and beans and groundnuts. And so this looks like it's going to be a good growing season. We're getting timely rains, and just yesterday had about an inch of rain, maybe an inch and a half of rain. And so we're blessed in that regard. And so the children are home from school. They have a two and a half week break, and then they go back at the end of August, and they'll finish what they call the fall term or the final term, go from September till December. Then they'll be finished for this school year and start another school year in January. And so everything is going well in that regard, and we thank the Lord for our church. We thank the Lord for the children's home, and we invite you to help us to build a school. We've got an acre of land we want to build a school on out at Makunda Village, right next to the children's home. And so if you'd be interested in helping support that project, stay tuned to the end of the broadcast for contact information. Okay, well, today we're going to be talking about part four, the final in a series where Jesus speaks of hell. And the reason I'm preaching this message is because I've had a few people in my time say to me that, well, Jesus never spoke about hell. He wouldn't send people to hell. There is no hell. And He just talked about the kingdom of heaven. And this is a false security misconception. Jesus spoke many times about hell. Sometimes He just called it weeping and gnashing of teeth or unquenchable fire. He had different names for it. But beloved, if you're one who believes in an universal salvation, that everybody gets saved no matter what they do, no matter what they confess, no matter whose name they confess or whose knee they bow to, if you're one that believes that God and Jesus Christ are so good and so loving that they would never send anyone to hell or never put a human being in hell or a human soul in hell. If you're one who believes that, I beg you to listen. I beg you to get your Bible out and read it. Even in the book of Matthew, there's probably 15 or 20 references to hell. And that's not even counting the other Gospels or what was spoken about it in the Old Testament. And so you just have to wake up and smell the coffee and understand hell is a real place. Jesus spoke about it. God doesn't want to send people to hell. Jesus does not want people to be in hell. But people choose that for themselves in their denial of Jesus Christ. And they deny Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, because they are lying against the convicting power of the Holy Spirit in their life. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is sent to convict us of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And when the Holy Spirit is sent into your life to convict you of sin, if you do not agree or you do not submit to that convicting power of the Holy Spirit. If you continually rebel and speak against it and lie against it, that is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and that is the unforgivable sin. It's not smoking cigarettes. That's not the unforgivable sin. It's not taking the Lord's name in vain. It's not being angry at the Lord or skipping out on church. Those are not unforgivable sins. The unforgivable sin is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which is lying against or speaking against the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to convict you of your sin. And beloved, this is a serious issue. People don't understand it, and they think just being a good person is good enough. If they bake cakes and take it to the neighbor, or if they smile and greet their neighbor on the street, and they do that all their life, and they don't murder anybody, they think that they're on their way to heaven. It's not quite that simple. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven. And so it's about your confession of faith. What do you believe? What do you say about the person that you believe in? What do you say about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who went to the cross for you? What do you say about him in your life? And do you confess your belief that he died for you and shed his perfect, precious blood for you on that cross of Calvary? Well, in Matthew 13, verse 47, this is one of many of Jesus' reference to hell. And Matthew 13 is a whole chapter of parables for the most part. And Jesus spoke to the people in parables. They're simple stories with a simple message so that the people can understand. It's not deep theological doctrinal stuff. It's just simple stories that even fourth graders and the simplest of peasants, simplest of uneducated people can understand. And so in verse 47, Jesus said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind. Well, you know those dragnets, you've probably seen pictures of them. They go out and they drop these big, huge nets. Some of them are illegal now to use dragnets in certain places because they disrupt the population of certain fish populations. So in some places they've been declared illegal. But they grab in and pull in fish of every kind. When they start to pull them in, they're not discriminating against this kind of fish or that kind of fish. They pull in everything that gets caught up in the net. And so they pull in some of every kind, verse 48, which when it was full, they dragged to shore or drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but they threw the bad away. And so it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, and they will separate the wicked from among the just, and they will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Well, let me read that verse 50 again. They will cast the wicked into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Well, beloved, that's not a picture of heaven right there. That is a picture of hell. That is a description of hell, where there is a furnace of fire and the fire never goes out. The fire is never quenched. And the wailing and the gnashing of teeth comes from those who are in that place of eternal fire. It comes from that place of those who are in eternal torment, where the soul never dies, where the worm never dies, and the fire never goes out. And beloved, if that isn't a description of hell, I don't know what it is. And if you don't believe that, if you don't think God and Jesus Christ in their love would ever send somebody there, you haven't read the Bible. They don't send people there. People choose hell for themselves by their denial of the blood of Jesus Christ, by their denial of the fact that Jesus died for them on the cross. And so the reality is they will be separated from God and separated from Jesus Christ for all eternity. And so this is the reality that Jesus speaks here in Matthew chapter 13. And you can read all those parables in Matthew chapter 13 for yourself. There's several of them, and they all have the very same point that they drive home, that hell is a real place, heaven is a real place, there's a heavenly reward for those who love God and confess Jesus Christ, and there's also a reward of hell or a punishment of hell for those who deny Jesus or deny the convicting power of the Holy Spirit in their life. Well, in Matthew chapter 22, turn over there. In Matthew 22, verse 1, it says, Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. And he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, one to his own business, and the rest seized the servants, and they treated him spitefully and killed them. Well, Jesus is preparing a wedding supper for the Lamb right now in heaven. John 14:1, he says, I go to prepare a place for you, and were it not so, I would have told you. In my Father's house are many mansions. And so if you've confessed Jesus, he's preparing a mansion for you at this very hour. The angels are busy preparing your heavenly home. And so in this parable, Jesus is preparing a wedding supper for these people, but they didn't take it seriously. They thought it was not as important as their own business. They thought it was not as important as their farm or as their own leisure, their own casual ways. And so that says that the people that were being spoken to, they seized the servants. These are the prophets. These are the preachers, the pastors who are crying out to you and begging you to come to the Lord. And it says they seized his servants, they treated them spitefully, and they killed them. And when the king heard about it, he was furious. The king is Jesus. And he went out and he sent out his armies. He destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. And then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. And verse 10, so those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. And so he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And then the king said to the servant, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. And so the call went out, and then Jesus said to the servants, bring in both the bad and the good. And so this is just like the parable of the tares, where at the end of the age, they gather in the bad with the weeds, the tares, they gather them in with the good grain, and then they separate the tares and throw that into the fire, the unquenchable fire, and the good grain, that good wheat that goes into the silo, that is then saved. And this is just the very same picture here. When the king came in and saw the guests, there was some there that didn't have on the wedding garment. Well, the wedding garment is the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He shed his perfect, precious blood for you, that your sins can be washed away, that your sins can be covered. Romans 10:10 says, with your heart you believe, resulting in righteousness, and with your mouth you confess, resulting in salvation. And so you must confess Jesus Christ. You must do it before men. And with your heart you believe. It starts in the heart. That heart gets convicted. that you are a sinner, that I am a sinner. That heart gets convicted of our evil deeds. And even again, we may be a good person in our own eyes, but Jesus said there's only one that is good, and that is God himself. And so Jesus Christ took a humble picture even of his own self in comparison to God, and he was speaking as a man at that time. And so when you confess Jesus and you humble yourself and you bow your knee to Jesus Christ, then you are putting on that wedding garment. Then you are putting on that garment that will prepare you for the wedding supper of the Lamb. And so then Jesus said in verse 13, Matthew 22:13, he said, then the king said to the servants, bind that wicked one who did not have a wedding garment, bind that wicked one hand and foot, and take him away and cast him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called and few are chosen. Well, beloved, you are called today. If you're listening to this message today, you are called. You have no excuse. And people all over the world are being called. Even the heavens declare the glory of God. Creation itself speaks about the invisible attributes of God. And so many are called, everyone is called, and few are chosen. That is to say, few make it into the narrow road and through that narrow gate, because they are too busy, just like these people in this parable. They're too busy with their business, they're too busy with their farm, they're too busy with their leisure activities. They don't have time to ever go to church. They don't have time to study their Bible. They don't have time to pray. They just assume that if they're a good enough person, somehow God's going to make a way for them. And if you're listening to me today, you are called. And if you're listening to me today, I pray that you are also chosen, that you understand that the narrow way has to be served, that the narrow way has to come forth through your confession of faith in Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to jump over to the book of Revelation here. I have a couple of scriptures from Revelation, and this is not the words of Jesus here in Revelation chapter 20. This is a vision given to John, the Apostle John, and he is on the Isle of Patmos. And I'm sure many of you have read the book of Revelation. It's a series of visions that were given to John as he was on this Isle of Patmos, and John was given revelation of Jesus Christ and the end time picture, the events of the end times, the coming of Jesus Christ, the coming and the tribulation period, the turmoil, the chaos, and the torment, I guess you would say, the misery of the tribulation period. And then in Revelation chapter 20, we have the millennial reign, where Jesus comes back with the saints and he rules and reigns for all eternity. And there is a judgment at the end of chapter 20 in Revelation. There's a judgment. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment, or the Great White Throne. And this is the time when those who have never confessed Jesus are judged according to salvation. And so this isn't about those who have confessed Jesus and been baptized. Those who know Jesus Christ, the condemnation, the judgment is removed from them at that point when they confess. But in Revelation 20 verse 11, this is the great white throne judgment. And it says, then I saw, and this is John speaking, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Then in verse 12, it says, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And so the books were opened. That is a reference to the books of a person's deeds. First, the books are opened, and Jesus looks at that and sees what a person has done in their life, good or bad. But then it says, And another book, a second book, was opened. This is the Lamb's Book of Life, which is the Book of Life. And the dead, then, if their name is not written in that Lamb's Book of Life, that means they have never confessed Jesus Christ. They have never submitted to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Because if their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life at their time of death, then they are in denial about Jesus Christ. They are in denial about Him going to the cross, shedding His precious blood for them. And so that is the point in time at which the judgment then is pronounced upon them. And then in verse 13, it says, the sea gave up the dead. There are many, many, of course, you know, who have died out there in the sea. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his work. And then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so those who died in the sea, their souls were judged. The spirits of death and Hades were judged. And then anyone not found written in the book of life, those who have not confessed Jesus, those who never had time to accept Him or didn't think it was important to accept Him, they are judged. And they are also cast into the lake of fire. And so they're in the same place with the devil. Go back to verse 10, chapter 20. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And so the ones who were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they're cast into that lake of fire, the very same place where the devil and the beast and the false prophet are, the Trinity, the unholy Trinity of Satan. And so they will be with Satan, and they will be with all of those who did not accept Jesus, and they will be crying out to Jesus, 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 save us, Jesus, Jesus, get us out of this tormenting fire. Jesus, Jesus, give us another chance. Go speak to my relatives. And yet there will be no redemption for them at that point. You're appointed once to die. Hebrews 9:27 says, we are appointed once to die, and then comes the judgment. So after you are dead, then you have no other options. You have no other alternatives. You are judged according to what you have done when you were alive on this earth. Well, one more scripture here, Revelation chapter 22, starting in verse 14. And this is a description of new heaven and a new earth, the new Jerusalem, that which will be our home. For those of you who are born again, this will be our home for all eternity at the end of the age. Revelation 22:14. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that's God's commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. Well, the churches he's talking about are the seven churches that were described in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Angels of those churches were given letters. John sent letters to those seven churches. And the churches then, Jesus said, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in those churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come. That is, come to me, come to heaven, come to the New Jerusalem, and let him who thirsts come, whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. And he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Well, praise God. I hope your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I hope you have taken time to study God's Word to see what it says about your life. I hope you've taken time to pray. I hope you've taken time to go to church and to lead your family in the way that God would have you to lead them, and to speak blessings and pray over them. And so these are the words of Jesus Christ regarding the reality of heaven and hell. Well, if you make a decision today, and at some point you will have to make a decision, if you make a decision today to accept Jesus, let me know. Email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know so we can get some literature in your hand. Find a good Bible-believing church if you're not in a church. Find a good Bible-believing church that you can be discipled in and study with other people and pray with other people, be encouraged by other people. And if you do that, you will be on your way to a great walk with the Lord. You'll be on your way to a great walk with your family to lead them also into a life with the Lord Jesus. And that is God's will for you, beloved. Let me know if you make that decision, and we will rejoice with you, and we'll get some literature into your hand as you proceed on your way to that new Jerusalem, that new city, and eternal life with Jesus Christ. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We invite you to partner with this ministry. Sit down, write us out a check, let us know you're listening. Include prayer requests if you have them, and we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you, and let us know you support the missions in Africa and support this radio broadcast with your generous donation, and we thank you for that. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.